No Chaser with Mack Williams and JT ATM Money. Unfortunately, JT had to step away. He's going to be gone for a couple weeks. So it's me, it's Mr. FSP. Don't want to do because I do it for you every day, every way, any way that I know how. I'm sitting in the hot seat, co-hosting again, so I'm not in charge, with Mack Williams. What's up, Mack?
What's up, everybody? Hope y'all all had a great week. This is the No Chaser Show with Mack Williams. Let me pay a few bills first. Trinity Web Solutions brings you No Chaser. They are official sponsor. If you need websites, web hosting, domains, anything, please check out trinitywebsolutions.org. We have any solution you need for your business or personal needs on the web. Anyway, I just hope everybody had a good week. Hey, look, just to let everybody know, Vic is my producer. I just want to let everybody know Vic is not just a co-host or a guy that just sits in when Jerry ain't here. This is the man who's behind the whole Sports and Politics Network, all the shows that you hear from me to the Master Plan, all the different shows we have. This is the guy who makes it all go. So I am honored and proud to have the producer on my show helping me out. It's a special occasion. It's like, you know, the commissioner visiting the office. Don't y'all tell all the things I've really been doing while he ain't been here. Anyway, I'm here this week. Our guest is Paul Good, and he is a friend of mine on Facebook. We haven't met face-to-face, but we've always communicated. I've looked at him on Facebook. He looked at me. We communicated a lot. And he is the CEO. He probably would say he's not, but he's the CEO of a company called Germany's Finest. He lives in Germany. I don't know what part. But I just want to want everybody to give a warm welcome to Paul Good to the show. Welcome, Paul. Appreciate you coming on, brother.
What's up? Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you, man. Glad you're here, man. You're a long line of very illustrious guests I have, and I don't take lightly the fact that you guys take an hour out of your time and your busy schedules to come on to this radio station. And trust me, I ain't got no worldwide syndicated show either, so I appreciate y'all coming on. Paul, I wanted to ask, what part of Berlin do you live in, or do you operate with Germany's Finest? I mean, where's your place where you really
Part of Berlin or what part of Germany?
What part of Germany? I'm sorry, I don't know if I said Berlin, but what part of Germany?
I'm in Cologne City. That's one of the four biggest cities. We got like Berlin, which is the biggest one. And then we got, mm-hmm. maybe you know, like, you heard about Frankfurt, Munich, and then
yep.
Cologne City, of course.
Okay.
And Cologne is where I'm at.
Oh, okay. Paul, how'd you, what is Germany's Finest? And how did you start it? I mean, give us some background on yourself and you know, what led you to, start Germany's Finest and tell us what Germany's Finest is, because, you know, because people who don't know probably need to know, including myself. So, you know, share a little bit of that with us.
Okay, so at first maybe something about the name Germany's Finest, how we came up with it. It's like, let me take you back to the year around 2000, 2001, 2002. We had the big basketball 5-on-5 tournament series going on, and it went to like 7 or 8 different cities, and it was really the biggest outdoor tournament series there was to this point in Germany. It went on for 5 years or maybe a little bit more, but then it got canceled. But during that time, I had the chance to take part in almost every tournament. I traveled from city to city. I was like, I'm 31 right now, 31 years old. So it was really like 14 years ago when it really started for me. So I got to know a lot of ball players from across the whole country. Although I was playing with players from Cologne, from my city, I got to know a lot of ball players from different cities, and we kind of connected because of the style we played. We liked to play a little bit flashy for the crowd with all the dunks, handles, and that was the thing that separated us from, like, some of the other players. So we kind of connected. And I chose the name Germany's Finest because we're not only from one city. We're not from Hamburg or just from Berlin or just from Cologne, because we're from all over the country. We got ball players in our squad, like we like with 30 or even more ball players across the country, from north, from south, from the west, from every part of Germany. And we travel, like we play tournaments in Germany, but we go even to other countries and play tournaments under the name of Germany's Finest, because there are a lot of ball players from different cities coming together and represent the best and the most spectacular ball players from the whole country.
Wow. So you basically, how I got to know you, we hooked up, is you're a really big fan of like street ball. So you kind of watch A1, and I assume you watch Ball Up, and you follow the players and follow street ball a little bit. You're an NBA guy, I can tell, because I see things that you post and things. But your place, what you really dig is you dig the street ball crowd. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, that's correct to saying it, but over here in Germany, over here in Europe, there's not a streetball scene going on. Like, you cannot compare it to the streetball scene that is going on in the States with where you guys are at, because you got Ball Up Tour, you got, like, really a lot of people making money, making a living out of playing streetball, out of making a job out of streetball, and over here it's really hard. So for me, it was basketball first. I got to know the game from watching the NBA back then when it was on free TV. For you guys, it's normal to have like every NBA game on TV, but back then when I fell in love with the game at the age of, I don't know, 12, 13, it was the NBA for me. There was no streetball. I didn't know that before. So for me,
right,
I fell in love with the game watching guys like Tim Hardaway and those guys, and I saw them, and I just wanted to do or they did, so I started to play basketball first. But I always was like into the handles, into the crossovers. I always liked that. So after watching the NBA for a couple of years, a friend of me gave me this tape, and it was the N1 mixtape, I think Volume 2 at first. I have not seen the first, but the second one at first. So it was me watching it, and after that it was over for me, because I've never seen the game been played with such style before, you know?
Right, exactly.
From 2000, 2002, we formed this type of group, got the name Germany's Finest, and it went on that we put out our little tapes with highlights and started doing stuff like that for ourselves, for me and my friends. And from then, it started to grow. We didn't realize it at first because it was just fun, like filming ourselves and putting it on the internet. There was no YouTube back then. YouTube started 2005. So after YouTube came on, it got a little bit bigger from year to year. And then we were able to watch Rucker Park and those guys. And then when it really started for me to watch those guys play, and I really got to know the real culture, the essence of playground basketball.
Right. Now, Paul, let me ask you, so what is Germany's Finest? Is it a company that does, because I know you have, for those who don't know, Paul has a YouTube channel with his name, Paul Good. It's G-U-D-D-E, and it has some things on there, some of the things in German and things like that, but I wish you put out more, but your training ones I really like. Because I do basketball training, and I really like your video, your couple of videos you have on that. So, what is Germany's Finest? Is it a training company?
So it started with some ball players just having fun, and then from that point it grew. And right now I'm doing really a lot with basketball under that name. For one, it's the training and the camps and the workshops and the stuff with young people and professionals, the training I do with them, that is Germany's Finest. But it's also like a company that does, I'm a writer, you know, I'm a journalist, I write about the game. I'm doing that under the name of Germany's Finest, and I'm doing so much related to basketball, I cannot like say I'm doing one or two things. It's just hosting camps, clinics, it's just yeah, a lot that we do under the name. I got freestylers and the best dunkers of the country, and I'm, yeah.
Go ahead, Dick.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to mention, Paul, I was stationed in Germany for 3 years. I've been back home for about a year and a half now, and I was in Mannheim. And the Switzer, I can't remember the daggone name of the basketball tournament that's held or was held at
Albert Schweitzer tournament for the young people. Albert Schweitzer tournament is a very, very famous tournament.
Correct, because that's where Dirk Nowitzki was discovered and a couple other famous European players. They played there. You said you were a journalist and you covered this stuff. Tell me a little bit about that, because that's very interesting how, as a sports writer in Germany, because I know what it's like over there. You said ball plant isn't the big thing right there, and you're right, it's not, because the regiment of the schools, from the time you get in first grade or kindergarten, they have you set to do certain things. There's not much time to go out and play basketball or football, whatever the case may be, until you become more of an adult. Tell me a little bit about that aspect and how that shaped your company and how your interest got piqued in basketball.
The thing is, over here, the whole system with sport and schools is a whole nother thing than in the U.S. Over here, it's not like every high school team or every school team automatically has a basketball team or has a soccer team or has any team. If you want to do a certain kind of sport, you have to join a club or a team, and it's not related to the educational part where you go into the school and automatically which school you join for that team you play. It's not like that. So the kids, they do sport in school, yeah, but it's like, I don't know, they do every kind of sport. They have, some schools have sport teams in different sports like volleyball or soccer or even basketball, but it's not that, like in the U.S. you have like this school is good for basketball or that school does soccer. Over here you have to join a club to really get into a sport. And for me, a friend of mine, he had a hoop set up in his home. And I was like, at first I was playing tennis at the age of 12, and I had no relation to basketball. But then a friend of mine came up with basketball, and he always beat my ass, and I liked the game, and that's it. I just got into basketball, and then the tapes came on. I watched the NBA, and it was basketball from then on.
Wow.
I understand.
Go ahead, Vic. I know you finished. Go ahead, Vic.
No, because it's interesting to me, because there's a big time difference right now. I'm in California. Max in D.C., in the D.C. area. Right now, you're 10 hours ahead of me. So I'm taking it. It's about 11, 12 o'clock at night over there, and you guys are watching NBA right now and stuff like that. Yeah. What influence did Allen Iverson and players like Allen Iverson have on you and your thought process of playing basketball? Because he brought a lot of the street game to the NBA. You know what I mean? And I think that it was a huge effect, especially when I was over there. I saw how a lot of the kids enjoyed the street ball mentality and saw it in the NBA. Just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, that's true. Like the street ball mentality over here in Germany, it came up 1993. It came with Adidas, because Adidas they had a big 3-on-3 tour going on, and that was the peak of playground basketball, of the tournaments between 1992 and 1995. I would say even too early for me to get into. I got into it like around 2000, but that was the peak that like playground basketball or street ball came over to Germany, and it was strong back then. A little bit early for me, because I came into the scene like around 99, 2000, but I think like players like Allen Iverson had, even over here, a big, big, big influence on people and on the people who loved playing outdoors and who liked when somebody got shook and got his ankles broke.
Yeah, exactly. I figured that.
Mac, you asked me about the practice and about the training thing that you realized about my clips, and those are like the latest clips from the last 1 or 2 years, because that's really the thing I focused on doing the last 2 years, because right now I did my thing on the court. You know, that was like from when I was like 18, 19 to 25, I really went, played every tournament I could go, you know. I played in Spain, I played in England, I played in France. I really played almost every tournament I could play. I never was that much into organized basketball, and I never tried to go like pro, but I always tried to play the best tournaments I could play and play pro players just to have that kind of competition. But when I turned like 26, 27, 28, it was more about, it went more to teaching the game and giving the knowledge and the skills that I had to the next generation. And that is what I'm focusing right now. So I really try to make basketball my living and make a living out of it, with stepping like from the court all day and trying to beat up everybody on the court to teaching the things I know and the things I can do with the basketball and things I know on the court to the next generation to make them better.
Right. Okay, so that's where you want to take the – so eventually you're going to take the company where you do training and all those other things that you do. It's just like you said, Germany's Finest, the best way to say it is it's a basketball company. It's a company where there's a lot of things under one umbrella. I guess that's the best way to say it. And training and passing the skills and things onto the next generation is
that's one big part of it.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, because if, you know, you guys don't have the same culture here, you know, you can be the one who begins. You know, we can look up 10 years from now and say, man, you know, Germany is, you know, gone basketball bonkers. I mean, it's so totally different, and Germany's Finest can be part of that. So that's a great thing. What I wanted to ask next is, I guess I was wondering, who was your absolute favorite player growing up? I know you're probably going to say Michael Jordan, because I don't know, but just some of the players that you really, when you were growing up, when you really took an interest in it, who were your first, you know, heroes, I guess, as you should say, in basketball, as far as over here?
Obviously, it was Michael Jordan. I had my whole kids' room with posters and stuff from MJ. That was the hero back then for everybody, I guess, in the States, mm-hmm. in Europe, everywhere. It was him.
Right.
But
right.
Like I told you before, I always liked the guards. I always was into the guard play, the guys that could handle the ball. I like Kenny Anderson very much, because you have to know I'm a lefty, so I have love for all the lefties out there doing it.
I'm a lefty. Welcome to the club, brother. Lefties, we know how to do it.
I like.
Go ahead. I mean, you're a left-handed. But did you like, let me ask you this, did you like, you know who one of my favorite players, Michael Jordan was my favorite player.
You know who I looked up to, who I love, and I was very disappointed seeing him right now in his current state, is Steve Francis, man. I love that guy. I love watching that guy play.
Who?
Steve Francis.
Oh, yeah, that's sad. That's a sad case, man. Yeah, Steve, you know, but like I said, man, when you, you know, it's all about choices, man. You know, you have everything in front of you, and you just make wrong choices. It just doesn't make sense.
But I love to see that guy play, like Stephon Marbury, Steve Francis, those guys.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Francis from this area where I'm at, you know, and this is with the University of Maryland. I mean, this guy did it and made a lot of money doing it, and just, I don't know what's wrong with the guy, man. But, you know, for me, like I said, Michael Jordan was I like Michael Jordan. I would never say he was my hero. He was always one of the players I really liked. But I don't know, Vic probably doesn't know this story. Maybe he does. But for me, you know, I was born and raised Detroit. And so you have to understand, half of that time I was okay. But then when he started bucking with my Pistons, and then he called me 30. I hated it. I did, seriously. Like, I have not bought a Jordan product since then, period. Like, I don't hate Michael Jordan. I respect him and revere him now, especially since he's not, you know, playing and doing the things he used to do to my team. But I always admired him, always respect him. I mean, the greatest of all time, period. I grew up, and when you say you like guards, for me, it was always Isaiah Thomas. Two of my favorite guards were Isaiah Thomas, and I would have to say, which most people don't talk about, is Tim Hardaway. Tim Hardaway with that UTEP two-step was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas was one of the best ball handlers I've ever seen and could lead a team in every kind of way. To me, when I look at point guards, ultimate point guards who can play both positions, I look at Isaiah Thomas because he could play the two or he could play the one. He was just a complete guard. He could do pretty much everything. He could score. He could lead. He could assist, you know. So, you know, but then, like I said, I loved the Penny Hardaways as they came along and, you know, other guards. Let me ask you this. This leads me to my next question. So what do you think of the NBA now? To me, you know, and I'm going to preface the question, then I'll let you go. But for me, the NBA now, and I don't know how Vic feels, but I'll just say it this way. For me, I think the NBA now is about, I think there are too many players that are getting into the league that don't have things missing in their game, and they're not working as hard as they should. Some, but they're not. I think AAU has messed it up over here, things like that. But I think the league is soft. I don't think the league is what it was when Michael and the Pistons and Bird and Magic and all of them, you know, you could really play the game. It was a physical game, but you could play it better. You didn't have friends. You didn't have people, you know, I know you since I was here. We cool. And it was never like that. I mean, you know, so,
yeah.
I mean, do you think of it, the NBA now, your overall feeling of it?
No, I definitely feel you on that one, because I think right now it's more like a big circus. For me, it's like a big, yeah, like just the big circus. I mean, the NBA is doing a perfect job on, like, the media is doing a perfect job to present the product, but the players and everybody acting, I really like, sometimes I feel like they're really acting with all the cameras and all the tweeting and all the everything going on. It's like very, very, very commercial, very circus-like, and it doesn't bother me because it's like that, and I still love the NBA game and I like to watch it, but sometimes when I think of, like, the old days you just talked about, it's like not the same. And I that was the point when I got into the game, when I started watching NBA basketball. It was a little more rough. It was a little more, yeah, I don't know. It just wasn't the same. And right now it's just too commercial and too everybody's friends, and yeah, but it's like that.
If you want to know what I think, Mac, I think the NBA has turned itself into this huge, huge industry that is totally out of control. Totally out of control.
What do you mean by out of control?
Well, I'm about to tell you, because we talked about David Stern leaving earlier, right?
Right.
One of David Stern's things was the image of the NBA. So he wanted to have everybody wear khakis and or dress businesslike when they're on the sideline. I have no problem with that. But then, in the same breath, he wanted to change the texture of the ball, which made it slipperier. Guys couldn't dunk it. Guys couldn't shoot it. They complained. I mean, I understand you try to innovate the game, but basketball is one of those things that you really cannot innovate. You can push the three-point line back a little bit. You can even make it closer. You can widen the lane. You know, those are good innovations. But his footprint for me in the NBA is he tried to take that street mentality, that street ball mentality out of the players. Because when Allen Iverson and all those cats, well, actually, Allen Iverson, when he came in and brought that crossover, the killer crossover, yeah, Tim Hardaway in there doing a killer crossover, but Tim Hardaway was doing it in booty shorts, just like your boy Isaiah Thomas and all those other cats. He didn't have cornrows. He didn't have tattoos. He didn't have all that stuff. So Stern tried to change the image of the NBA. And with the NBA being, I want to say, 95 to 97% black or African-American, you know, they rebelled because the major stars are Jordan. The major stars were, because if you notice, Jordan started wearing the booty shorts too. Jordan went to the shorts that went past his knees as well. Then you have the Dennis Rodmans of the world. The players control the NBA, not the owners, not the commissioner, but the players. So when you see LeBron going out there doing his thing and, you know, taking the team on his back, that's great. But then when you get a Latrell Sprewell incident that takes place, I'm going back a little bit, when Latrell choked out PJ, you know, he got dealt with, his career is pretty much over with. But nowadays, you can look at whatever. And I'm going to give you an example about how the players control the NBA. What do you do in the summer, Matt? Tell everybody out there that's listening for the first time, and I don't know if Paul knows, but what is it that you do in the summer?
Oh, in the summer, I'm at the Goodman, man. I mean, Paul knows about
exactly.
That. I think Paul knows about the Goodman. Paul, you know about the Goodman,
okay.
Don't you?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Paul knows about the Goodman. That's where I'm at all.
Exactly.
But
and who comes down for the Goodman from time to time?
Know about the Goodman.
Yeah.
There you go.
You gotta,
people
you
know about the Goodman League.
Right.
And here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying, Matt. You post, and I agree with you on this post. People don't show up to the Goodman until KD, Kevin Durant comes, or Kyrie Irving, or somebody else comes down there, because these guys, who are the face of the NBA right now, still come and play street ball. Still come
right.
Play on the hard top. They go wherever.
Right.
The players,
right.
The players in the NBA control the NBA, and it's a madhouse. And that's what I mean by that. The inmates control.
Oh, okay.
That's
right.
What I'm getting to. I'm,
you know,
I'm sorry.
I'm
going a long way, but that's
no,
what I mean.
You're good, Vic. I mean, it's a good point. I mean, for me, I just see, I look at it a little bit different. I agree with what you're saying. I look at it a little bit different, and I'm going to give Paul his take, give a chance to take his take. But see, for me, the problem I have is, you're right. I buy into the whole thing with the image thing. I mean, that's fine. You know, I don't like the fact that, for me, the biggest thing that bothers me is all this friendliness. Like, when I got on the, I mean, and I'm a little bit old school. When I got on the court, I didn't like you. We could be friends after. I didn't like you. I wanted to kick your ass. I wanted to embarrass you. I wanted to humiliate you. I wanted to beat you. I mean, that's what I wanted to do. And we would be friends later. But this day and age, like I said, I think number one, the number one thing I think is number one, a lot of these players that are in the NBA don't know fundamental. Number two, a lot of it is because of AAU. Anybody can get an AAU team and throw a bunch of kids out there and you can start doing stuff. And a lot of the coaches in AAU aren't good coaches. They don't teach you anything. They're just about recruiting. And getting the best kids on your team, and then you beat the crap out of everybody else, and that's how they're getting coaching jobs and stuff. And these guys aren't really coaches. And I just think it's trickling to the NBA. Because think about it: how many guys go to the NBA, look great in college and high school, and they get to the NBA, and it's like, hey, I ain't heard from that guy in a minute. I don't know where he been. You know, they out the league. And I just think that a lot of them are just coming out. I just think the privilege is being given to some people who shouldn't have it. And I know too many people that bust their tail every day to do it, and they don't get a chance. It's too political. And I just think there's got to be a better way. And to be honest with you, speaking to Paul, you know, a lot of people love going overseas. They look at that more than they, and a lot of people say, I'd rather go overseas and go to the NBA. I don't have to deal with all the BS. So, you know, I don't know what your take is, but I just think it's not the product it used to be. And I just think the guys aren't showing fundamentals anymore to fans. When you wanted to watch and see real basketball, you watched the NBA when I was coming up. Now it's like when you watch it, you learn all the bad habits and things that you're not supposed to do, and you go out there and try it. So I don't know what your take is on it, but, you know, go ahead and let me know whatever your take is on it.
I think the game, it's hard to compare the NBA game to a game that's played in Europe because – So so it's just another game that's been played. Like, even right now with all the European players playing in the NBA and a lot of U.S. players playing over here, I think there's really, like, two different styles of basketball going on. Like, in the NBA, you still got the athletic one-on-one type of play, and in Europe,
right.
you really got the fundamental basketball going on with all the screens and all the people doing their job properly to get the best result. And I think in the NBA right now, the direction it's going to is even more into, like, less fundamentals, less, like, just like you said.
It's all about action. It's all about, like, for instance, I give you guys a good example. Over the last, man, 2 or 3 weeks, I've been posting on Facebook and I've been trying to tell guys I'm a coach. So I break things. I look at the game completely different now than I did when I was playing, because now I look at it from a coaching standpoint. What is this? I look at it by skill set. And like you said, a lot of European players, I notice when they come over here, even though they have some flash to them, like a Ricky Rubio, they have their fundamentals. Dirk Nowitzki still has his fundamentals, even though he's known as, okay, he shoots. But fundamentally, he's sound. You got a guy like, what's my man name over in San Antonio? He's fundamentally sound. All the guys from overseas look like they come over here, that grow up overseas from there. It seems like they always come over fundamentally sound. With us here, it's all about flash and style. Guys literally sit and tell me, Vic, you'll find it funny. I tell them all the time, I said, look, the best player right now is KD. And they all think I say that because I know KD. And I'm like, no. I said, I'm not saying that because I see him. I said, but you don't understand. I look at the skill set. And I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I'll ask Paul. Paul, if I can do more things, if I can score and do more things than another guy in my skill set, and this guy can't do that, wouldn't that obviously make me the better player, the more complete player?
Yeah, I think you're right on this one, and I think you're right with KD too, because he's a player with his length, with his length and his skill set is just unbelievable what he does on the court.
Right, and that's what I try to tell people, and I say, well, I broke it down this way. Vic, you'll find this interesting. I told him, I said, okay. I said, I'll break it down on Facebook. I told him, Paul seen my post, and I said, look, I said, LeBron only scores two ways. He either scores from the three-point line or he scores on the break. Basically, he's a Mack truck with no handle. That's the best way. Mike actually said that. Black actually said that, Vic. You'll find that funny. And it was a perfect description. He's a Mack truck with no handle. And, you know, I look at him, I'm like, LeBron can't dribble. And people laughed at me when I first said it. I was like, he can't. I said, name the last time you've seen LeBron one-on-one break a guy down one-on-one and pull up his jump and pull up anywhere inside the three-point line and just pull up. I said, consistently. He can't. I said, KD can put it on the floor. He can shoot it from 30 feet in. He can pull up in the paint and shoot it just as well as he can from far out. I said, he's got to dribble. I said, LeBron can't dribble. The only way LeBron gets by his man is if he's close enough to him that he takes the offhand and goes and hooks around the guy and propels himself around the guy. Other than that, he can't get around the guy one-on-one, if you notice. That's why they almost lost last year to the Spurs, because the Spurs stayed far enough off of him that he couldn't be close enough to grab him and pull him and win his way around him, so he had to keep passing the ball, and all he could do was shoot from the three-point line. So all I'm trying to say,
Matt,
and I tell everybody,
go ahead and finish, because I wanted to tippy-toe on exactly what you were just saying. Go ahead and finish.
So basically what I'm trying to say is, if a guy, plain and simple to all these fans out here, it's not about the flash and the dash. Yes, LeBron can dunk. Yes, LeBron is a freak of nature. That does not make him the best player in the world. Two rings don't make him the best player in the world. I look at skill set. If you're picking a guy, any of you, Vic, you're not a professional coach. Paul's not a professional. You know, we're not NBA coaches, but we know when we go to a basketball court, when you're looking to pick somebody up, you ain't looking at they can dunk. You're looking at, what can this guy do? How many weapons does he have? And when you look at that, that's how you evaluate who's the best player on the court. That's how you evaluate it, you know. So
yeah.
Go ahead and chime in on that, Vic. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then I'm going to let Paul chime in on what
he thinks. Okay.
I totally agree on what's being said, because if you look at the NBA draft, they're not getting a lot of American-born players. They're getting a lot of European players, and they're getting them in top, I mean, in lottery selection, because they're looking more for the fundamentally sound player versus the killer cross or the monster dunk guy, because that fundamentally sound player is going to add more to your team, than the guy that's going to, okay, I'm gonna make the highlight reel every night, but we're going to lose every night. Golden State. And I'm going to use Golden State just for that, because Golden State was just like that until Mark Jackson got there as a head coach. When Mark Jackson got there, they're the Splash Brothers, and yes, they shoot a lot of jumpers, but they play fundamental basketball when it comes to spreading the lane, the weed, the extra pass, getting it down low, setting up the big guy to take a high percentage shot. You know what I mean? So you can have your killer shooters outside, which is good because you work inside out. And some teams work in outside in, but the fundamentals is what is making the current basketball player a good quality player. And another thing that you said earlier that I want to talk about, and I hope Paul has something on this, NBA players nowadays, the difference between NBA players nowadays and NBA players in the 80s, early 90s, they played every game, not just a week or two before the playoffs or while they're in the playoffs. Every game was played from whistle to whistle. So that's all I got on that.
Okay, Paul. Go ahead. Tell me what you could chime in on this, Paul, whatever your feelings are.
Yeah, I think what's just been said is right, that like back in the days you had players that were not friendly to each other and they went at it like for the whole game and for the whole season. And right now players are not playing a couple of games. Maybe it's just coach's decision to be ready for the playoffs, whatever. But that's the way the whole game changed over the years.
And I just think it keeps you sharper when you play as opposed to trying to rest you and say, well, I'm going to rest this guy. I don't want to get him hurt for the playoffs. But, you know, there's some wisdom to it. But the only thing I would say is it's based on age. If a Tim Duncan's 34, 37 years old, I can understand you doing that because the body's not the same. If you're in your late 20s, early 30s, I don't care. I want to play. I ain't trying to sit. You know, and that's the only thing I say. I just think, like, I agree with what Vic said. Big piece that I really say is a lot of European players are now coming to the NBA, and the NBA players are looking for them. I think part of that is because of Popovich and the Spurs and the way they bring European players over all the time. It's like they always find this guy. You're like, who the heck is this dude? And he can play. You're like, good Lord, where did he come from? You know, and I give big kudos to European players because, you know, it's like Shaq, baby Shaq used to tell me all the time. He's like, if you got the fundamentals, you can do street ball, because then you can evolve. He said, but people think that it's not fundamental. He said, but if you don't know how to dribble, I don't care who you are. You can't sit and do a crossover if you don't know how to dribble. You can't do some of those moves and stuff if you don't know the basics of passing and how to pass and the angles and. He said, you have to know those fundamentals and have a work ethic before you can do that. So what I find is, in agreement with what Vic said, is that European players come over here with fundamentals. And then the crazy part is they have work ethic, crazy work ethic already, because that's their habit. So when they get to the NBA, and now that they're getting paid, and guess what? You don't have to sit and go to work now and go work out. Now you got full time. And you build off those fundamentals, and they become a Manu Ginobili. You become a Parker. You become, you know, all these guys that, you know, Ricky Rubio, who can flashy and then pass. Well, he knew how to pass before he was doing it behind the back and passing all kind of crazy ways. He knew his fundamentals, and he had a work ethic. And that's why these European players are staying in the league and staying there for a long time. You know, look at Dirk. I mean, Dirk came over here. Dirk has had a full career and still doing this thing. You know, but he has his fundamentals down. But see, you know, I just think, you know, European players are coming over here, and I think they're going to be more, and I think the league is going to, you know, be filled with them on every team one day. because they're just coming over here and they're just more fundamentally sound and they have a work ethic. And over here it just seems like a guy makes it to the NBA and they rest on the talent they have, but very few build on it and come back with something. If you notice, Michael Jordan couldn't shoot a lick. Both of you guys should agree with this. Michael couldn't shoot like he could shoot at the end of his career. He worked on that. Michael Jordan, when he came into the league, was strictly going to the basket and dunk on you or get to the basket. That was it. He never had really had that pull-up jumper like he did. But as he got older, that jumper got deadly, which then opened up him to now, when he wasn't as fast, he'll get to the basket and get by you. So, you know, big kudos to man, you know, you guys. And like I said, man, Paul, I mean, what you're doing over there in Germany's Finest, man, you know, I hope you send some more guys over this way or get them started where they can come over here and, you know, be fundamentally sound in the thing over here, man. It's important, you know, because we need examples because we ain't getting it right now, you know. Over here, you can be 6'10 and be a plum and get a job, you know.
We're trying to get them ready.
Yeah. I mean, I tell kids all the time, I say, look, I've seen a kid 6'6", I mean, in middle school. And I'm telling them, I'm like, look, I mean, I wish I could work with you, but, you know, you work with somebody, I said, but I'm going to tell you a real easy way to get a free education. Get 10 points and 10 rebounds every game. At 6'6", you should have no problem. 10 points, 10 rebounds every night. Make sure you get them every time you play.
I got a question.
If you do that, you'll get a scholarship. It's serious. It's that easy over here. I mean, it really is.
Paul, I got a question for Paul here. Because we're talking about getting them ready, right? When you're looking at all the players you have and you're trying to instill the fundamentals in your players and stuff like that, tell the people out here listening what is it that you do to prepare these guys? What type of regimen do you put them through? What type of connections do you have to get these guys seen and stuff like that?
I think for young players over here, the most important thing, you talked about like work ethic and that kind of stuff. The problem I see right now over here is that even young people who are already good and who want to work on their game, like I told you about the situation with the clubs and you have to join a team and everything, is that young players over here, they have to understand that like working out with your team 3 or maybe 4 times a week is not enough. You have to go into the gym every day and take your shot and do your workouts. And the same thing you just said about the young players, like not putting in that extra work that is definitely necessarily to get them to the next level. Over here, I see the same things, and I tell the kids if you wanna get your game up, get to the next level, you have to put in that extra work. And a lot of players over here, they think maybe it's enough to work out 3 or 4 times a week with your team and not do that extra work, but it's not. It's like that's what I'm coming back to the streetball thing to where we talked about in the beginning. It's where I shape my game outdoors on my own or with a friend just shooting outdoors. And that mentality to work out no matter where is. It's missing. When I see the young guys right now coming up and playing basketball, I think there are two less players that work out, like really want to work out before school, like every day.
And that's the same problem you're talking about is the same problem over here. A lot of the players, you know, there are a lot of players that are really good over here, but they believe in going to practice with their team, your high school team or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not going to get good. You know, over here it's too much technology. You know, it distracts too many distractions. And, you know, I think one of the things that's messed up is that we don't have, and I'm not saying we should, but we don't have free gyms anymore. We don't have gyms where you could, I mean, when I was coming up, all you needed was you pay maybe one time, get a membership card, and you come in to join all the time. And we don't have those anymore. Now we have these gyms that want to charge these exorbitant fees either daily or these exorbitant fees for a year. And it's like, yo, like, there's too much stuff going on every night in the gym. And you're like, come on, man. You know, nobody opens up a place that's just basketball. You know, and of course we don't have parks like we used to. Vic can tell you that. We don't have parks. I mean, he's in California. They have more basketball courts probably than we do over here, of course, because they got better weather. But over here, even in the summer, you know, you don't see guys packed at the basketball courts anymore, unless it's, you know, late night or you got lights on. But it used to be you would find that thing packed from noon to shoot when they turn the dang lights off the place. So I just think, Paul, you're right. You know, it's the work ethic. I think that's the biggest difference with this generation, is that they think everything is I'm good. And then the funny thing is, then they wonder why they get cut, or why I don't play in the game, or why I'm not getting the minutes, or why I'm not doing this and that. And then the funny thing is, and then you got the parents in your face come out, well, you know, why my kid ain't doing, like, come to practice and find out. he ain't doing that good, you know, or what have you. So, you know, both of you guys have brought good points. I mean, Paul, the work ethic is definite, man. But the same thing you're talking about over there is the same thing we're getting over here. You know, and my last few minutes I got, I do want to ask you, though, Paul, I know you kind of told me what you're doing, but, you know, what are you guys up to this year? What is Germany's Finest got planned this year? What do you have planned this year to do as a company?
Back in 2012, we went on a tour in the Philippines. We went on a three-week tour over there to play ball against different teams and different selection of teams. And mm-hmm. I can tell you, I just been two times to the States, and I know you guys are crazy about basketball, but you have to mm-hmm. go to the Philippines. Those guys are crazy about basketball. We have the most crazy 3 weeks ever playing the game on the streets, literally on the streets, and it was just fun hanging out there and talking to the people, and it was just the greatest time. We have clips on YouTube. You guys should take a look on those clips, because we had really good time playing over there. And with all the hurricane stuff going on there lately, I'm hosting a charity event, and we're trying to go back there maybe this year if we can make it.
Okay.
And we're trying to put up some money and help them out with, like, building a court or visiting them, hosting camps over there. So that should be nice. If that's working out, that's a big project I'm working on right now.
Okay.
And I had the chance to host the Red Bull King of the Rock tournament in Germany for 2012 and 2011, 2013. It didn't happen over here, but I think this year is a good chance that I can redo it and take the winner to the international finals. So that would be a big thing over here in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to things like that, like organizing camps, basketball games, charity events, things like that, just everything involving basketball.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm really gonna be looking out for you. Yeah, make sure you keep us posted on Facebook, you know, on what you're doing. And like I said, if there's anything I can post onto the radio page or my page on what you guys are doing, man, please pass the film, pass the stuff on to me, man. Let me know. You got my email. But you know, I really appreciate you being on, man, and talking to us about basketball. I think me, you, and Vic could probably do this for the next 2 hours and talk about all kind of crazy subjects about basketball. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, I support Germany's Finest, man. You know, and if there's any way, like I say, anything I can put on my anything I promote or do whatever, I do whatever I can to help promote any of your events. That King of the Rock thing is dope. Of course, you know, Shaq won it back-to-back 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I was there on Alcatraz. I was a witness those 2 years. I saw him winning that championship.
Yeah, man. Can you imagine? And that's the funny thing. You just saw that. I get to see him every dang on day in the summer, just kill cat, and it's ridiculous. Y'all should see this boy's stats during the wintertime playing for the semi-pro league up here, and he's on a team I used to coach. And I mean, I think 2 weeks ago he had a triple double. The week before he was, and then last week, not last week, but the week before, he was in within one assist of a quadruple double. I mean, this dude is like ridiculous, and he's 33 years old. I'm just sitting here like, this is crazy. I was like, when I was 33, I wish I could do this. But, Paul, I really want to thank you for being on. I want to let you know, man, at any time, and I really mean this, as long as I have a show, man, you ever want to come on and announce something or talk about something or be a guest, man, all you got to do is request, man. This is your personal bullhorn, man. If you want to put something out or whatever, I encourage any of your fans that are listening, hey, look, tune in every week, man, every Friday. We ain't got a guest, we talking something. If it ain't politics in America, it's basketball or it's, you know, football or whatever we're talking about that week, but please come back. We would love to have you back, Paul, and in fact, I'm probably going to have you back on usually in the fall. That way you can tell me what your summer was like. But look, Paul, you got to get down here, man, come to the Goodman, man. You don't know basketball until you come down here for a Goodman game, man. You got to come down here under the lights and see KD and all the guys. And even when the pros ain't here, we got good bump. I mean, the games are intense. I mean, if anybody knows anything about Goodman is intense without NBA guys. We go weeks without NBA guys on it, and the games are just as competitive as it was an NBA game. Because these guys down here, they don't want to lose. So make sure, you know, you try to get you some money together, man, and come on down, man, and, come on down and see the games, man. It's the number one summer league in the country, and it's great. But thanks for coming on, Paul, man. I really appreciate it, man. I got a lot of gratitude, a lot of respect for you, man, and what y'all doing in Europe. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And I want to see you become a full-fledged businessman, a millionaire down there, and you down there doing it. Okay, I had you on when you was little. Now you done got big, you know. So keep doing what you can do. And anything me, Vic, or, you know, our radio shows can do, let me know. Vic has a radio show. We have other radio shows. If you ever want to be a guest, you know, Vic, you let me know. I get Paul on your show. If you want to come on and talk more basketball one night, just let me know. But, Paul, man, I really appreciate you coming on, man. And, you know, I got much respect for you, man. I appreciate you coming on here because you didn't have to do it. And it's awful late. So I'm going to get off of here and go watch. I'm going to get off here now and watch, I think, what, KD plays tonight, I think? Yeah, he plays Brooklyn tonight. I want to see him torch him up tonight. So, just want to say thanks, man. Vic, thanks for coming on, man, and short notice, man, and jumping in. You know, I couldn't do this show without him, man. Gave me a tremendous opportunity. I just want to tell everybody out there, man, Vic, tell them what your show is and when you're on, please.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, right now you're listening to No Chaser. No Chaser airs every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mac Williams, Jerry Teller, discussing whatever's on Mac's mind.
Not Thursday, Friday.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. On Friday, 7:30 Eastern Time, discussing anything and everything. Hey, look, let me do my spiel. Every Friday,
okay.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mac Williams, Jerry Taylor, No Chaser, come in, sit down, kick back, relax, say what's on your mind. Then on Saturdays, you've got FSP. That will be me, Mr. FSP, right now, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we discuss the week of sports, mainly football, but mainly fantasy, as well as the political realm of sports. Then on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you've got MP, Master Plan, with JT ATM Money, Jerry Taylor. I'm sitting in for him for the next couple weeks, where he discusses, he's just like Mac, but the polar opposite. They discuss whatever's on their mind, and JT, he brings you the business. Him and Reverend Fantasy, they discuss the Super Bowl, basketball, football, baseball. It doesn't matter. They'll do it 10 a.m. Standard Time on Sunday. Then you come right back on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with FSP Crew Show. That's with Jeff, Black, and Jerry. They'll sit down, hype you up for whatever game's coming on for that night, and talk about the world of sports. This Saturday, tomorrow, FSP Show, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to talk about college football and labor unions. Yes, yes. We're going to talk about Northwestern trying to get a college union for the sports teams. We'll talk about that tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com/DICHBK. You can also check us out on spotonradio.webs.com. You can always go to fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com to hear us streaming 24/7, 365, ladies and gentlemen. And every show is brought to you by FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. So go there today and place your wager and take home some money and put it in your pocket. I'm done.
All right. All good. Thank you, brother. We will see you. We will see you around, man, on the post, man. And, you know, some of your fans, and even one of your fans has posted me on my radio page talking about he agreed with everything he said about the NBA. So, you know, like I said, all the fans in Germany, man, please encourage them to listen to my show, man. Push it, man. We would love to have German people call over. I know it's expensive, but look, do what Paul did. Get on Skype. Get on Skype, baby. Pay $5 and whatever and get on and listen. But, Paul, thank you, man. I appreciate you, man. With that, man, everybody have a great week. We will see you back here next Friday. Next Friday is the 7th. Next Friday, Paul, you better tune in. Next Friday, I have the one and the only, you, baby, Shaq Jones, on next week. So everybody tune in and listen to what we get into, because with that fool and me, it could go anywhere. So thank you very much, and with that, we are out. Thanks, Paul. See you later, brother.
Thank you for having me, man.
All right, no problem.